good evening, and welcome once again to Your Legal Rights on KALW 91.7 FM, San Francisco Bay Area. I'm your host, Jeff Hayden. We are in an unprecedented crisis that's hurting landlords and tenants alike, all due to the pandemic. For well over a year, there's been a moratorium on evictions in response to the financial hardships brought on by the pandemic, but also to keep people off the streets and keep them indoors when we needed to have a shelter-in-place order. That moratorium is now set to expire on April 30th, unless there's a last-minute extension by the legislature. That seems unlikely. The good news, it's not as if folks didn't see this coming, and we're not without relief. But it's helped truly on the way. Well, executives of local bar associations, the state bar, and others have all been in this conversation and have been connected for a while on this looming eviction crisis. And now Reynolds Assistance is here to the rescue for these folks, both landlords and tenants alike, who can get educated. But the key is to get educated really fast. The soon-to-expire eviction moratorium, emergency rental assistance, AB 832, which protects tenants who have suffered from COVID-19-related financial distress, and various eviction diversion programs are gearing up throughout the Bay Area counties. Tonight, we're here to offer advice. We're here to assist you in finding help. There's much to discuss. Our phone number right here is 415-841-4134. Again, that's 415-841-4134. If you're outside of the Bay Area, call us toll-free at 866-798-8255. Again, that's 415-841-4134 if you're local, or 866-798-8255. Sorry, my keyboarding skills need a little bit of work. Bear in mind that our attorney guests can't provide you precise legal advice. They don't have all the facts relating to your particular case. However, they're happy to pass on the legal principles to help assist you in your decision-making. Their legal guidance mightn't be the positions of their employers or clients, but they are here to help. Joining us tonight, Tila Chalmers runs the Alameda County Bar Association and their pro bono program, Legal Access Alameda. She's also chair of the statewide Disaster Collaborative, which offers free legal help in the aftermath of disaster and has been helping coordinate legal services related to COVID-19 as well. Tila is working with the Access to Justice Commission on eviction diversion programs in Contra Costa, San Mateo, and Santa Clara counties. Diana Cruz is an award-winning mediator with Judica West. She loves helping parties resolve their disputes from small family conflicts to large commercial cases. Diana is a commissioner with the Access to Justice Commission and is spearheading a program to help landlords and tenants apply for rental assistance. Murray McKeever, MSM Consulting Services, an award-winning legal service, an attorney working with legal services organizations serving low-income renters. Mari McKeever, MSM Consulting, is an attorney working with legal services serving low-income renters. I'm sorry, I can't read my own writing. And finally, Carol Kahn is the Director of Public Service Programs to the Lawyer Referral and Information Program of the Bar Association of San Francisco, serving San Francisco and Marin counties, and the Alternative Dispute Resolution Programs. With that, I'm happy to welcome all four of you, in fact. Diana and Mari, I'm happy to welcome both of you to Your Legal Rights. Carol and Tila, I'm welcoming back to Your Legal Rights. Seems that the three of us were together some 14 months ago talking about where to get help, and here we are resuming that same conversation. Let me start with a few basic questions. Tell me a little bit about the kinds of things that you're seeing lately, some of the red flags that are telling you there's stuff going on and where we're going.
Well, this is Carol. I'll jump in quickly just to say that In addition to the Lawyer Referral and Information Service, we also have a Conflict Intervention Service, which is a mediation program in landlord-tenant matters in San Francisco. And we are seeing quite a bit of distress in the rental community for obvious reasons induced by the pandemic. And with that, working very closely with both landlords and tenants to work through issues related to back rent that's unpaid under the laws that we have currently in place and in effect, which we'll be talking about more in detail. But we are absolutely seeing the crisis firsthand. And it's going to be, we're about to enter a very critical period where both mediation and legal services are going to be in high demand. So we're preparing also for that next phase of this crisis.
Let me ask, what is the status of the moratorium? You heard me mention it at the beginning. Is that still, as best we know, set to expire?
This is Tila. Yes, we expect that it will expire on September 30th, and you never know, but it would appear that it is not going to be continued another time. I do want to say, though, and this is the headline for the rest of our program, that there are protections in place both for landlords and for tenants. So although it is terrifying, as you said, Jeff, we have been working on preparing for it. Perhaps the most important headline is that there is rental assistance available, and we can talk about more of the details of that.
You mentioned rental assistance, and one of the things I wanted to ask, is that assistance available for everybody, even if it's not a COVID-related loss?
No. The quick answer is no. It has to be the failure to pay rent has to be because of COVID, but there's a pretty broad definition of that. It can be because you lost your job as a result of COVID or you yourself were sick with COVID, but it also can be that you had to quit your job because you had to take care of kids because they were out of school due to COVID. Or there were no jobs in your community, so you weren't able to get one. There's a whole long list of possible reasons.
But I do want to emphasize that's correct, that it does need to be a COVID-related financial distress as to the reason why rent was unpaid.
And they interpret that very broadly, so if you can connect it to the slowing damaged economy or something like that, would that likely be enough?
Yeah. That likely would be sufficient. Jeff, this is Diana Cruz. For example, on the statewide application, you check a box that indicates that the debt is COVID-related. Another important restriction, which your listeners should be aware of, is there's also a household income cap that people should be aware of, which is not more than 80% of the area median income, so the AMI, and that's something that you can just quickly Google in your county or in your specific location to check if you qualify for that income cap.
And is that per month, or is that looking back at your incomes from 2021, or do we know?
I believe it's annualized, but Carol or Mary or Tila can correct me if I'm wrong.
Well, I might recommend, you'll probably hear this resource again and again, but Housing is Key is the seminal kind of website, which explains a lot of things around what qualifies you for a rental assistance application, including that financial COVID-related distress we're talking about, along with, as Diana's mentioning, where you fall in the adjusted median income. So I would recommend that the housingiskey.com is something you start to look up and get familiar with. We'll be broadcasting their phone number as well.
I'd also like to highlight that landlords can apply for the rental assistance. It's not only the tenants. So they can submit an application, and then it could be determined whether or not the tenant, and therefore the landlord who will receive the money, is eligible.
That's such a good point, Mary. And in talking with people from Housing is Key, Jeff, actually, not only can a landlord apply just themselves, but if a landlord and a tenant apply together, that apparently greatly speeds up the actual delivery of the funds, because there are certain fraud checks that are basically automatically cleared by the landlord affirmatively confirming this is my tenant, they are behind and whatnot, which cuts down on the back end work that various funding organizations need to double check. And so not only can a landlord apply themselves, but they really should, because it's in their best interest to get their money faster.
And well, I would say that was actually part of my point about protections for landlords, that if you imagine what this crisis would look like without this rent, you'd have people who couldn't pay their rent, couldn't pay their back rent, forced to move, unable to stay, and then landlords who are unable to collect because the tenant doesn't have money. And so, and then they also need a new tenant. So this solution offers the landlord a remarkable 100% of the rent that's due. That's COVID debt, as we say, the COVID-related debt. They can get 100% of it paid to them, and they keep the tenant. In some circumstances, the tenant is actually eligible for a few months of rent in the future as well from this same fund. So it's really a fund that isn't just for tenants or landlords. It protects both of them.
From the perspective of a landlord, though, wouldn't any conceivable loss be COVID-related? Because they've been unable to get to the courts for relief?
The statement of need or the COVID connection is regarding the tenant's situation, not the landlord's.
So as long as the landlord has a tenant who is unable to pay the rent because of a COVID-related reason, then both of the parties qualify for the rental assistance. And as Diana said, then the money gets handed to the landlord once they are approved.
Let me turn it to Susan from San Francisco. Welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Hello?
Susan, hi, you're on the air. Welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Thank you. This is not related to your topic, but I wanted to know how a senior citizen gets a legal representative to write a cease and desist letter to a neighbor who's impinging on my property and continues to do it every chance he gets, and I'm on constant alert and I'm getting an ulcer.
Thank you for the question. Where are you located, in what county?
I live in Berkeley, and there's no legal representation for what I'm looking for. It seems like neighbor law is a very vague and unhappy place to be.
That's true. It is, Susan, a tough area. Have you tried calling the lawyer referral service for
yes,
Alameda County?
I did, and I didn't get anywhere. And to make matters worse, this particular neighbor is a lawyer.
Mm. I mean, sorry, Mari, were you about to answer that? I'm totally sympathetic to your situation. You know, the Alameda Courts Self-Help Center actually has chat to help or something. They have help available by phone and also by chat. And they're pretty used to helping people with this kind of problem. They can't go to court with you, but they can help you do the paperwork.
I can't do anything. Like, I'm very learning disabled. I can't even use a computer, and this guy knows all of that. What I'm hoping for is a letter to cease and desist. If I could give you a little background on this property, it's really remarkable that he's pushing more and more for more and more. I've lived in my home for 40 years. 30 years ago, I had to go to the hospital. I had problems having my daughter and my thyroid shut down. They couldn't figure it out. Took a long time to get out. When I left, a little one-story house had become a two-story house and was now in the ownership of a contractor. And the city said, we're going to let him have that two-story because his mother-in-law is coming. If you want to fight it and you have $20,000, you'll probably win. Well, I was going through a divorce, had an infant, a health problem, and teenagers. And so I let it go. And believe it or not, I had wonderful neighbors for a while, and I forgot all about my losses and my view and my light and privacy because they were so wonderful. But when they moved, I got this guy. And one day he said, you know, where you're standing is really my property. Now, I started first with ignoring him, and then he actually started cutting into my trees and cutting into the city tree and saying, I hate those trees. And the city never did anything to help me. The forestry department didn't write a letter saying you have no right to touch that tree. But what's worse is he took three tags out last December, December 20th, to cut down that tree that's closest to his property, remove the ball root, second tag, and the third tag was he was going to proceed to dig a ditch, an open drain, from the street between the two houses. And I went crazy, and I called every number in the city of Berkeley, and it didn't happen. But once again, they're working on the streets, and once again, he has maimed that little tree. He really cut it down, and I came home just as he was having his agents do this and loaded a whole bin with the branches, and I thought, oh no, next step is he's going to try to dig that ditch again.
Let me ask you, when you called the Alameda County Bar Association, were you unable to get through, or did they tell you that they had nobody lined up for your nuisance question? And it's really a nuisance law rather than a neighbor law.
Well, no, but they said they had no one to deal with these issues. It was immigration, it was getting a job, it was being refused a rental. I mean, it was all very general, nothing to do with this type of special thing. And there's an assumption that if you own a home, you're wealthy in Berkeley. And in fact, I was even told, you're perceived to be a rich white woman in the hills.
Okay, let me jump in, because we do have some resources you might try if you haven't already been there.
Well, let me suggest, Jeff, yeah, for you, mediation might be a good opportunity.
I cannot talk to this man. If you knew the history, my son was mentally ill, and he died of sepsis. And now I have an ulcer, too. And this man is constantly harassing and bullying. And he is some kind of agent for the city of Berkeley. I think he's a freelance. But he has a lot of power here. And I think that it's very, very wrong. And in fact, I'm saying it over the telephone because I challenge any lawyer who will hear me and help me in light of this kind of behavior from an individual who's working for the city of Berkeley.
Okay, one possibility, try this number. If you don't want to participate and you really want somebody that's going to represent you and that's going to try to contact him on your behalf without your speaking to him directly, try Legal Aid for Seniors at 510
okay.
510-832-3040. I wish you the best of luck. I wish we had something directly on point.
Is there any other number if this fails me?
Circle back to the Alameda County Bar Association Lawyer Referral Service at, this is the number you know well, Tila.
Yeah, but they don't contact me again, and when they did, they said they don't deal with these kind of specific problems.
And Susan, we do have a drop-in clinic once a month on Saturday mornings. It's drop-in in the sense that it's phone-in. And so if you call the lawyer referral service back at 510-302-2222, then you can get the detailed information for when the next one is.
Okay, but try calling. What time is that on Saturday?
They have all those details. So
see, I don't have a computer.
Right, so all you need to do is call them.
Okay, all right. Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Okay, and thank you for joining us. I hope we've been of some help to you.
Well,
and getting back to what we were asking about, which was some of these landlord-tenant issues, what are protections for tenants?
Well, I, of course, the existence of the ERAP, the Emergency Rental Assistance Program, is one of the biggest ones. And once the moratorium lifts, there are notices that the tenant has to get to alert the tenant to these things. And there are requirements. The landlord must, really, the landlord must try to get the ERAP funds, the rental assistance funds, before the landlord can go to try to evict the tenant. They will get turned away from the court at several junctures if they haven't tried and been turned down for that rental assistance. So in terms of people who haven't paid their rent due to COVID, there's a lot of systemic protections for tenants. Mari, do you want to talk a little bit about what happens if they have rental debt, though?
Yeah, part of the new legislation includes opening up availability to the small claims court for landlords who have back more than $10,000 in back rent that's due. So in other words, landlords who were previously prohibited from filing claims in small claims for more than $10,000. So they can go to small claims, file a lawsuit to collect unpaid back rent, but tenants have protections. So a landlord might claim that $20,000 is owed when in fact $20,000 is not owed. Because either the tenant had obtained rental assistance and the landlord didn't acknowledge that in the lawsuit, or the landlord is claiming he or she is due late fees and they're not allowed to ask for that. So tenants need to understand that they have rights and that they should be sure to find out what those rights are and seek legal advice. They should not just automatically cave if they get a lawsuit. They should respond to the lawsuit. They shouldn't just let it fall away, because in that way they will have a default and they lose and they'll owe the money, and they don't want to do that if they do have defenses.
And I'm going to underscore what Mari is saying and add to it that we do have programs in the Bay Area that are very robust for landlord-tenant mediation that can be very effective ahead of receiving a notice, or certainly even when you receive a notice. But with negotiation of the unpaid rent, it may surprise some who have assumptions, perhaps otherwise, that landlords, in fact, really want a regular, continual paying tenant. Matters of vacancy are not easy for landlords to deal with necessarily, and so while relations no doubt can be strained, if not problematic in this time period, I do want to put that forward, that in San Francisco there's a robust PUC program, in the East Bay there's a robust program, there's community boards that serves multi-county. So I just offer that as much as other resources, in the sense that, you know, the landlord-tenant relationship is a very vital to, right, retaining someone's home and hearth, and that relationship in terms of the communication, the better that communication and the clearer that understanding can be, the better. And at the same time, there's a lot of fear on both sides, frankly. So engaging a professional neutral can go a long way to helping that communication get back on track.
What protections are there in place? What aid is there for landlords?
The rental assistance is for landlords. So that's what's great about the state system, is that the landlord can initiate the rental assistance application. And the money obtained through that will go to the landlords for the back rent that's due.
There are also free mediation services that are available for the landlords too, where they can reach out and try to negotiate a good agreement with the tenant. and have hopefully a long-lasting and positive relationship going forward. And those are some of the programs that Carol just mentioned, as well as fantastic ones that the Bar Association of San Francisco runs and that the Access to Justice Commission provides.
And maybe I could just jump in here now for a quick advertisement. So to find out about rental assistance, the website is housing.ca.gov, housing.ca.gov. Although if you type housing is key, which is their motto, in Google search, that's what you'll get right away. We also have a phone number for them, which is, I've lost it already, 833-420-2122, 833-420-2122. It's a great place to start. If you need to be going through your county for this money, and that's true in some counties, they'll tell you about that. They're happy to help you fill out the forms. It's a great resource.
Jeff, a lot of people have the misconception that this application takes a long time too, and you'd be surprised how quick you can click through it just by yourself. And if you have any questions about any of the specific pieces of information that are required on the application, you can just go to the community partners portion of the website and find a great list of fantastic organizations that are available to you free of charge to help you fill out this application and to give you further information on each question. I've been able to do these rental applications with tenants in as short as 15 minutes. So I know in this busy world, we never have time, but make time for this if you have a tenant that's behind on your rent or if you're behind on your rent.
And if for whatever reason, like Susan, you don't have digital access or something like that, do call and a counselor will walk you through many of those very same steps Diana just laid out.
Thank you. When we return from the station identification in just a couple of moments, I do want to start a little bit on the negative side. We've been talking about protections available for both landlords and tenants alike. When we come back, I do want to talk a little bit about the eviction process as it now stands. Before we do, I did want to bring something up. Last week, one of our speakers on Your Legal Rights, we did a program on looking at the role of religion and government. One of our speakers, and I did not hear it, spoke about a hypothetical Muslim who had the belief that under Sharia law, they had absolute life or death authority over their children and made some statements that were very of great concern to not just one of our regular listeners, but had I heard them, they would have been a great concern to me. I did speak it over with my co-host from last week and did verify it. First, I want to apologize to not only this listener, but anybody that might have been offended by the comments. The idea of parents killing their children, whether it's of any group, is most disturbing. And it's one that's been repeated time and time again against Muslims. So it's a very disconcerting to me, as I know it was to this listener and possibly others. I wanted to apologize and just be very clear. This is not the view of this program. People who know me know it's not my view, certainly, but it's not the view of this program and not of this station. And I want to make sure that people are clear. We are not looking to express anything remotely close to that. And I don't think we'll hear that that guest back again. You're listening to Your Legal Rights on KALW 91.7 FM in the San Francisco Bay Area. Tonight, we're talking about the rental protections, the eviction moratorium that is expiring at the end of this month. We have a host of people that are here to help you. If you have questions for my guests, their phone number is 415-841-4134. Again, that's 415-841-4134. If you're outside the local dialing area, please call us toll-free at 866-798-8255. Again, that's 866-798-8255. You can call regarding any question on tonight's topic. Tonight, we're talking landlord-tenant. We're talking about protections for landlords and tenants alike that are expiring at the end of the month and the phenomenal programs that have been put in place to assist. You're listening to Your Legal Rights. We'll be back right after this.
You can't pigeonhole Colson Whitehead. In his two biggest novels, The Underground Railroad and The Nickel Boys, he took totally different approaches, and he got a Pulitzer Prize for each of them. Now, Colson Whitehead's latest book is a crime story set in Harlem of the 60s and 70s. It's coming up on Q from PRX.
From the CBC will be this evening at 7 o'clock right here on 91.7 FM KALW San Francisco Bay Area and online at KALW.org. Support for KALW is provided by the Bar Association of San Francisco. And if you live in San Francisco or Marin County, the Bar Association's Laura Referral Service can arrange for you to meet with an attorney experienced in the area of law related to your situation. You can call 415-989-1616 or visit sfbar.org for further details.
So we talked a little bit about the positive side, some of these great protections both for landlords and tenants, aid that they could be getting to pay back rent and to really put both sides in a better place, whether it be through government assistance or mediation or whatever it takes to really get people back on track. Let's talk about when those things don't work. Let's talk a little bit about the eviction process. Who would like to jump in and talk about it generally?
Say that generally it's a multi-step process. So assuming whether it's in COVID time or not, an eviction starts with a notice. And generally, the notice has to be handed to the tenant. If that's not working, there are other things that the landlord can do, but they have to try that first. They have to try knocking on the door and handing it to the tenant. But that notice does not mean the tenant has to leave. That's a popular misconception. That's just the beginning of the process. Sometimes that notice will give you some time in which to pay back rent or correct what you the landlord says you're doing wrong. After the notice time is up, if the tenant hasn't paid the rent or fixed the problem, then the landlord is able to file a lawsuit in court. The lawsuit then is served again on the tenant by hand, generally. And it's called a complaint, a summons and complaint. And then the tenant has more or less 5 days in which to file a response in the court, to fill out a court form and to file it. Once the tenant has done that, the landlord can ask for a trial date, which happens in the next 3 weeks or so. And then there's a trial. If the landlord wins the trial, then the court has to issue some paperwork. And only after that paperwork is issued and served on the tenant, handed to the tenant or posted on the door, only then does the tenant have to leave. So it happens much more quickly than many lawsuits, but it's not automatic by any means.
And then, too, under the new law for COVID-related unpaid rent, that timeline is extended a bit further out. Usually, a notice in an eviction proceeding might start with what's called a 3-day notice to pay or leave the premises. But under the new legislation for right now coming out of the pandemic, that notice period is 15 days.
I'd like to just point out two things. So what's going to happen is come October, eviction lawsuits can be filed. It's important to identify what the basis of the lawsuit is. If it's regarding rent that was not paid between March 2020 and September 30th, 2021, what the tenant needs to remember is that if he or she could not pay that rent due to COVID, they should immediately file, immediately complete a COVID declaration form. And the notice that they receive should give them that opportunity to complete that form and, in fact, tell them that they have 15 days to complete that form. If the notice is regarding rent that they have not paid in October, then that is when they need to immediately pay their rent. So there, it's important to understand what rent, what the time period is for the rent that the landlord is demanding. So it's very important for tenants and really, frankly, for landlords as well, to pull together all of their records regarding the rent that they were due each month during that COVID time, how much they paid each month, or how much rental assistance was provided to the landlord during that time period, because it's all going to be about how much money the landlord received or didn't receive.
Let me turn it over to Alicia in Berkeley. Welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Oh, hello. Thank you. My question has more to do with your earlier section, but I just got started listening, so excuse me for that. I work at Berkeley Adult School helping people to find housing, which is like finding a needle in a haystack when you're talking about low-income folks. And I was wondering if your guests could give me an opinion about whether that Housing is Key program could help somebody who doesn't have a lease yet, but could approach a landlord and say, you know, I can't pay the whole rent, but under this program, you could get help with the rest of it. And also, if they have any suggestions other than 211 and some of the sort of obvious programs here in the East Bay for finding low-income housing, if they have any suggestions of where to send people.
So as I understand it, what you're asking isn't so much for assistance with the place you're presently living, but you really want to know if they will help find low-income housing?
Yeah, in other words, if someone doesn't yet have housing or needs is looking for new housing, can the program that they were talking about earlier, Housing is Key, help that person to be able to pull together enough finances to be able to actually rent something? Because even though they call, you know, $2,500 a month low-income housing, for a lot of people it's not. It's too much. So I just wondered if you have to have already be a tenant in order to apply to that program.
Those are great questions. So I think the bad news is Housing is Key and the Emergency Rental Assistance Program is really aimed at back rent and assisting people who do already have leases or some kind of landlord-tenant relationship. I know that there are some really good organizations in the Bay Area from some of my work in previous organizations. There's nonprofit housing.org, as well as Catholic Charities that can help basically identify local subsidized housing programs. One other really kind of interesting thing that somebody told me a long time ago, I had a pro bono client when I used to work at a big firm who was had just immigrated here and on an asylum petition, an emergency asylum petition, and needed immediate low income housing. And it was suggested to me by one of the nonprofits that you look at recent commercial buildings that had just finished being built in the Bay Area that have a certain number of low-income housing units that were attached with them, and look at their application processes, because generally they'll be, you know, the big thing is available, right? That they're empty today. There's so few of them. Talk about a needle in a haystack. So I very much feel, you know, your client's pain there. Affordable housing is an oxymoron in the Bay Area. And I wish that there was more that organizations that we could refer to you. I know one of our my co-speakers today also thought of Season of Sharing as well as a potential resource for you.
Okay, great. Thank you so much for that help. I'll look these places up and see what I can see with them.
Well, thank you so much for helping people find this housing, because it's such an important way to assist people.
Oh, yeah. There's so many people coming into the Bay Area and then leaving because they can't afford to stay here, sadly enough.
So, I hate to admit, I lost a good friend last week for that exact reason. Alicia, thank you for joining us, and thank you for the work you're doing and trying to help.
It's a privilege. And thank you for this program. I really enjoy it.
Thank you. And let me turn it over. It looks like we've lost Roger from Washington State. Roger, if you want to try us back, we're happy to take your call. 866-798-8255. We talked generally about the eviction process and how it works. What's different now? What's different in the post-COVID? I hate to say post-COVID. I hope we're soon to be post-COVID. But post-moratorium, what's different about the eviction process?
All right. Mari, can you start us off? What's different?
Well, as we mentioned earlier, there is a lot different if it's a non-payment eviction and the landlord is evicting the tenant for rent that wasn't paid between March 2020 and the end of September 2021. And the other thing that's different is that rental assistance is more readily available. The current rental assistance program does pay for future rent. So tenants may be eligible for rental assistance to help them if the landlord is seeking to evict them for October, November, or December past due rent. And then we have different programs that are growing or beginning to grow, including this mediation program that the Access to Justice Commission is heading up. There seem to be collaborative projects coming together, both with the courts and with community-based legal service organizations, in trying to help the landlords and tenants come to an agreement without going all the way to the eviction stage.
Diana, maybe you could jump in and just talk a little bit about that.
Certainly. I mean, I think one other thing, Jeff, that your readers and listeners might be interested in is with a potential difference is that there may be an increased delay in your court proceeding, especially if a tsunami of these cases hit the courts all at the same time. And that's impossible to predict how many of them are going to come in, but it could be significant, and you could see long delays at the courthouse to get, you know, a potential hearing date potentially. And so one of the reasons why the Access to Justice Commission is spearheading this mediation program is to help stem that tide, which may hit the courts, and try to resolve as many of these cases pre-filing as possible so that people can apply for rental assistance, negotiate a good agreement between the landlord and the tenant that hopefully secures a long-lasting peace, and then move forward positively with their lives. We're really in a unique moment in history right now where the landlord can potentially receive 100% of the back rent owed and the tenant can stay in the housing. And so these mediations thus far have been very successful because they're potentially easy deals to get done. And so if you are either a tenant or a landlord and would like to take advantage of this free program, we would love to hear from you. So it's being piloted in several Bay Area counties right now. And you can reach out to us, either Tila or myself, Diana Cruz, directly, or I'll get you the email address that you can email as well to seek assistance. And we're offering these free mediations, again, to both landlords and tenants. And we also have access to a lot of great resources and referrals if you need other help in your situation.
You're listening to Your Legal Rights on KALW 91.7 FM in the San Francisco Bay Area. Tonight, this is an unprecedented opportunity with an eviction moratorium about a week away from going away. Use this opportunity to find help, find where you can go, whether you're a landlord or a tenant. This opportunity is unlikely to occur anytime soon. You should really call. Our number is 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. If you are in the Bay Area, you can call us at 415-841-4134. My guests are here to help. You still have a few minutes to call in. So we talked a little bit about the eviction and special processes for COVID. What about debt? What about the back rent that's owing?
Yes. So it's important that everyone approaches this in two ways. There's back rent, and then there's the possibility of eviction, meaning losing your home, no longer having the right to stay in your apartment. So you renters may be confronted with receiving multiple notices of lawsuits being filed. One lawsuit may be that the landlord is looking to collect the rent that wasn't paid during the COVID period since March 2020. Another notice or another lawsuit might be an eviction lawsuit because a tenant was not able to pay their rent in October or November. So it's very important for folks to read their mail closely, look at what the notice says, and those notices that you get in the mail, if you haven't been served with a lawsuit, those notices that you get in the mail hopefully will direct you to the court. So, and the court will possibly have a self-help center that can help you respond to that lawsuit, or they can refer you to a local legal services organization that can explain to you your rights and your next steps. And it's also noteworthy that the laws that were recently passed seek to have the COVID financial situation not negatively impact your credit in the future. However, you have to make sure that the court has what they called masked your case so that somebody going on the internet can't type in your name and see that perhaps you do owe back rent and you couldn't pay your rent and you do owe the landlord some money. You want to make sure that the courts mask those cases so it's not easily found by either credit agencies or future landlords.
Let me turn it to Paul. Paul, you're on Your Legal Rights.
Thank you. Mine's a little bit unusual. I'm actually 70, so I definitely qualify as a senior. And I actually direct a nonprofit. And I had this guy that was offering to help get this RV running that was given to us, that we wanted to help people that have lost their homes due to COVID and the recent Northern California fires. So I left this guy stay in the RV. It was supposed to be for a week or two in order to do this repair, and then he refused to do anything. There's never money involved, and I didn't want to initiate any type of eviction because he never was a tenant officially. So I thought the only way that I might be able to do it is through a restraining order, a harassment restraining order, because he's been potentially violent, and he actually, from what I've been told, he actually has a loaded illegal gun. And I was thinking that the only way that I might be able to get in other words, I thought if I get the sheriff involved, that it would become a landlord-tenant thing, because I said he could come in there, but it never had anything to do with money. So, are you following me on that?
We are following you.
So the only way that I can see out of it myself is to do a harassment restraining order. Do you have any other suggestions?
I'm going to ask that you take your call on the air. We're getting a lot of feedback. We're happy
to take my call. What?
Happy to take your call. Happy to try to answer. But if you could put the phone down, we're going to answer you over the air just because of the feedback we're getting.
Okay, fine. Thank you.
Anybody care to jump in? Mari, do you have a suggestion for him?
he has non-established tenant rights. The person in the RV hasn't established that. So you're right. You can't file an eviction lawsuit. I would suggest calling the Lawyer Referral and Information Service to talk to an attorney to see the next best steps. You might be able to do something through small claims, or you can also notify the police that you have not given this person a right to be in the RV and that you would like the police to deal with this because it's potentially theft of your RV.
A restraining order, as you suggested, is something you could get into court fairly quickly on also. And the Lawyer Referral Service can help you with that. Paul, we didn't ask you where you were, but all the surrounding Berea counties have Lawyer Referral Information Services. If you're in San Francisco or Marin, you would call the Bar Association of San Francisco at 415-981-1616. I know somebody on the who's looking at me that would correct me if that were wrong.
415-989-1616.
I knew you'd pick it up. If you're in Alameda County, that's 510-302-2222.
And Jeff, I would just add to that I would start with Mari's suggestion about calling the police first, because actually the fact that the person isn't a tenant means that they are less protected. So you can revoke your permission for that person to be anywhere. Just like if I came to your house and you invited me over for lunch and then I just plain refused to leave, the fact that you invited me in for lunch doesn't give me a right to just keep staying there. And the only exception would be if we had established a landlord-tenant relationship. So it's very similar to that. And with the addition of a weapon, I think that your police are going to be your first stop. That would be my suggestion.
Absolutely. Let me turn it to Nirali in Berkeley.
Hey there. This is Nirali in Berkeley. I'm a tenant right attorney at Centro Legal, which is in Oakland. Thank you for putting this on. I'm just catching the tail end of your report, so I am sorry if I'm repeating something, but I just wanted to reiterate that in Alameda County, the moratorium will continue even after September 30th. We have a local moratorium in Alameda County that extends to 60 days after the end of the local health emergency, which is decided by Alameda County. And so this moratorium is protective. It bars landlords from evicting under most circumstances unless there's a health and safety threat, a government, agency says that someone needs to vacate, or the landlord's taking the entire building off of the market. So I just wanted to remind tenants in Alameda County, because I'm out here and I'm getting this program, and I just want to remind people that they are still protected, and if they need legal advice, they can call our office. We offer free legal services for low-income tenants, and our number is 510-437-1554. Thank you.
Can you repeat that number one more time?
Sure. It's 510-437-1554. And this is for Alameda County tenants. We also have expanded to Contra Costa County. So please call us if you are a tenant. We can advise you. Don't move out of your place. Even if you get a notice, we can advise you on whether or not it's legal, because most notices in Alameda County are illegal still, even after September 30th.
Good information. Thank you for sharing that with us, and thank you for joining us in your legal rights. We are about out of time, and I wanted to give each of my guests tonight about a minute each if there are any parting thoughts, anything you wanted to sum up. Could we start? Why don't we start with you, Carol?
Yeah, thank you, Jeff. Thank you again for having us on for this important program. I do want to just signal to everybody that it is a stressful time, that sometimes fears and other kinds of considerations do get in your way. It's natural. And at the same time, there's a lot of services at the ready to help you. Not only the Lawyer Referral Service programs, which offer an initial half hour, 30 minute consultation, sometimes at no charge, sometimes at about $35. So it's a pretty low barrier, hopefully for most, to at least get some legal consultation and advice. And in addition to that, in San Francisco, we run the Conflict Intervention Service for mediation and landlord-tenant matters. And we also have, for San Francisco residents, that's a free service to try to work through the issues of back rent, negotiate whatever the issues are in conflict with your tenant or with your landlord. We serve, obviously, tenants and landlords both. So I did want to just let people know there are, reach out for the help that is available.
Diana, do you care to have any parting thoughts?
Certainly. I want to make a final pitch to any of you landlord or tenant attorneys out there. If you are willing to email your clients and see in advance if anybody is behind on their rent and wants to take advantage of emergency rental assistance program prior to filing a complaint or another document in court, you're going to save everyone a lot of time and money on the back end. And there's so many wonderful organizations like the Access to Justice Commission who can help you in that process. The email to reach out to us is rent, R-E-N-T, help, mediation, @gmail.com. And we would love to hear you from you.
Thank you. Mari.
Just a little advice for folks as they might be worrying about what's coming down the pike. Watch your mailbox. See if open all your mail. If you get mails from the court, you may get mail from the court. You may get mail from your landlord. You may, you know, get mail that you don't understand. If you don't understand it, seek out legal advice because there are time constraints and you need to keep on top of your deadlines. So please do seek legal advice. And also pull your records together. As I mentioned earlier, I'm working with several legal service organizations, and it's important for tenants to have a ledger and understand what rent was due, what they paid. And also, if you applied for rental assistance, keep a record of that application that you submitted. And sometimes it's hard to get documentation through the system because it's all online. So go ahead and do a screenshot showing your and have that on your phone to show that you applied for rental assistance. Just get all your ducks in the row in case you are sued. And then if you are sued, seek legal assistance.
Thank you. Tila, we have less than a minute.
All right. Quick points. If you get a notice and you're a tenant, you do not have to move right away. Get help, but don't move right away. If you're a landlord, you should be knowing that there are lots of restrictions on when you can evict someone, not just about rent, which we've talked about today, but all kinds of other reasons. So be sure to get some help for that as well. And finally, a quick reminder to apply for rental help, go to housing.ca.gov or 833-420-2122.
You've been listening to Your Legal Rights on KALW 91.7 FM in the San Francisco Bay Area. Our guests tonight have been Tila Chalmers, who runs the Alameda County Bar Association and the pro bono program Legal Access Alameda. Tila is working with Access to Justice Commission on eviction diversion programs in Contra Costa, San Mateo, and Santa Clara counties. Diana Cruz is an award-winning mediator with Judicate West. Diana's a commissioner with the Access to Justice Commission and is spearheading a program to help landlords and tenants apply for rental assistance. Mari McKeever, MSM Consulting Services, is an attorney working with legal services organizations serving low-income renters. MSM Consulting Services has worked with legal services for many years in the area of family law, housing, and consumer debt. And Carol Kahn is the Director of Public Services Program for the Lawyer Referral and Information Program at the Bar Association of San Francisco, serving San Francisco and Marin counties. Tonight's show was produced by yours truly. We've heard a lot about election security in nearly a year since the presidential election. What's been learned, what's been proven and disproven, and what's been done. Please be sure to join Your Legal Rights again next week, Wednesday at 6, where we will discuss election security and open source voting. Best of all, we'll take your calls and answer your questions. A big thanks to tonight's guests, and a big thanks to all of you for listening. And at the controls, Damian D. Minor, I'm Jeff Hayden. Be safe and have a good night.